Hi, this is Dave Flussinger from the Chattanooga Times Free Press, welcoming you to the Scenic City Roundtable. Our discussion today, the Chattanooga city elections that just occurred on Tuesday, the re-election of Mayor Andy Burke and the election of our city council members, or at least most of them. And here to talk about the city election and what it may mean for Chattanooga, I'm delighted to have back with us again today from the opinion pages of the Chattanooga Times Free Press, the editorial page editor of the Free Press, Clint Cooper. Clint,
hello.
And Pam Sohn, the editorial page editor of the Chattanooga Times.
Hi.
And as well, we have one of our opinion columnists for the Chattanooga Free Press and keen city observer, David Martin, with us.
Always glad to be here, Dave.
One interesting race is that we had in the outcome on Tuesday. Mayor Burke, as I said, reelected easily. And we have at least five, perhaps as many as seven of the current incumbent members of the city council were reelected. But before we talk about the mayor's race and the city council races, the election itself, the turnout for the race, fewer than one in five registered voters, only fewer than 19,000 people actually cast ballots, went to the voting polls either during early voting or on Tuesday to vote in the city election. That's only 28% of the people, for instance, that voted in the November presidential election. Clint, is that typical, or why do you think so few people actually cast a ballot in this city election?
Well, I think it is more typical of city races. There were no other issues on the ballot. I know 4 years ago, when Mayor Burke was elected for the first time, I believe we had two amendments on the ballot for people to look over. Not that those always bring people out, but there was at least something else on there. And if I recall, 4 years ago, I believe seven of the nine council seats turned over. So there was maybe a little bit more interest 4 years ago, but this one has an opportunity to have four turnover. So I think it's a shame that more people don't turn out for every election, but those could be the reasons. Plus, I think we talked about last time, perhaps a little layover from the November election. People just tired of elections.
Pam, you know, Mayor Andy Burke won fairly convincingly, 64% of the vote. But in terms of the total number of people that were eligible to vote, he only got in the four-way election candidates that were in the mayoral race, he still only got about one of every eight eligible voters, and only 7% of the entire city population even vote for Andy Burke. Does he have a mandate as mayor when the turnout is this small?
Well, I guess if you're going to say, he could certainly say, I have a mandate of those who voted. It's really a shame that more people, as Clint said, don't vote in city elections, because city elections actually mean more to us, to the way we live, than national elections.
Good point. Let's talk a little about the mayoral contest, which was the most high profile. We had Andy Burke, a former state senator. Last time he won with 72% of the vote. This time it looks like he got a little over 64% of the total vote. Over both, the next highest vote total was City Councilman Larry Groen, who got just 26% of the vote, and then former City Councilman David Crockett received 8% of the vote. Businessman Chris Long got about 2% of the vote. Why do you think that Mayor Burke scored so well, both 4 years ago and then again this time?
Right. It's amazing to think that somebody lost 8% of their support between elections and still scored 64%. That's a pretty strong performance right there. I think as soon as the early vote totals were released, sometime right after 7 o'clock, it was really hard to look at those numbers and think that it wasn't already a ball game. It wasn't already over. Because not only when the early vote totals came in was Andy Burke so far ahead of his second-place competitor, Larry Groen, he had also separated himself enough from the rest of the pack that it looked like he was solidly going to avoid the 50-plus-1 threshold to avoid that runoff election. I think, you know, this go-round for Andy, he did have, and we addressed this last time we were in here, kind of the spoils of the incumbency, the ability, when you're the mayor, when you're the incumbent, you have the ability, everything you do gets covered by the media, you tend to have a more well-stocked war chest to draw from, and that helps. But something I've wondered, not just this past election on Tuesday, but in 2013 when he ran as well, there really hasn't been a galvanizing opponent step up and take him in a mano-a-mano style fashion. You know, Larry Groen in his district has a very strong following, but that name recognition wasn't there. Nothing that really galvanized. And even though this is a nonpartisan race, for somebody to win that was not a registered Democrat like Andy Burke is, they needed somebody who could galvanize the local Republicans. And we haven't seen that person come forward in either 2013 or 2017. And I think lacking that persona is something that helps as well. So when you asked the question earlier, does he have a mandate? Well, he does of those who voted. But it's also one of these things where you have to think, well, did he actually get any competition that would challenge that in a substantial manner?
Comments of David Martin as we're talking today on the Scenic City Roundtable about the Chattanooga City Council elections and the mayoral race. I'm Dave Flessner with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. With us as well, Clint Cooper from the Free Press editorial page. Clint, do you think that the mayor raised over almost $500,000, easily besting any the combined total of all three of his opponents by 7 or 8 to 1 margin? He certainly had most of the endorsements, including both the endorsements of the Free Press and the Times. This is a nonpartisan race, but you're traditionally a more Republican conservative paper, editorial page, and you endorsed Andy Burke as well. So what led you to make that endorsement? What do you see as his future now as in this kind of victory going forth?
Well, the reason I endorsed him is partly because of what David just talked about. I didn't think either one of his two competitors had sort of the wherewithal to unite the community and do the things that Burke might be able to do, or to have the money to make a race that would beat Andy Burke. Now, that having been said, I think Burke has done some things that that are overall good for the city. He's, of course, the paving has been doubled since he's been in, although I would say it needs to be doubled again, perhaps. He worked out, I believe, the police pension or fire police pension during his time, and he's worked on some other things that are a more equitable variety for different people in the city to, for instance, to have more access to the library, for more access to cable television and computer access and various things like that. So he's done a number of things, I think, that would sort of help a lot of, we say little people, not that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I mean just not the wealthy necessarily. But I just didn't think the other two really had the wherewithal that would be a real citywide type person for Chattanooga.
Pam Sohn, last year in the Hamilton County School Board election, we saw a number of incumbents be defeated. Certainly in the presidential race, at least in Hamilton County and much of the country, we saw a mood for a change in the White House. And yet in the mayoral race, it seems people were pretty happy with what's the direction of Chattanooga and both most city council members being reelected. But the strong reelection of Mayor Burke, does that suggest people are fairly happy with the direction and the growth in Chattanooga right now, you think?
Well, that kind of goes back to the mandate question a little bit, I think. And I don't know that I would say people in Chattanooga are happy per se with the city. I think one of the little things that wasn't so little that Burke did, going back to your part of your question about the school board, Chattanooga 2.0 is pushing hard to get the schools to do more early childhood development and things like that. And Burke's Baby University and his early childhood push are big parts of that. And I think a lot of Chattanooga, especially women in Chattanooga, see that as a big plus. Burke is a builder of people, not a builder of monuments like the waterfront. And I think that goes a long way with some voters.
You mentioned women. We're talking about the city council. At this point, we have one of the 9 members who are on the council are a woman. There's a possibility we could get a second. We may pick up another African-American on the council, but pretty much the demographic makeup of the 9-member board is likely to pretty much be much the same. We saw 5 of the incumbents reelected, and there'll be a couple of runoffs. But we did see the defeat of Moses Freeman, who Anthony Byrd, a county criminal court clerk, had defeated. David, in that race, were you surprised that Moses Freeman, seeking his second term, did not win election there?
I wasn't going to be surprised either way, I think, looking at that one. Obviously, Moses Freeman has got a long track record in the city, but also, you know, Mr. Byrd, he had a lot of energy. And that, obviously, I've never spoken to Mr. Byrd personally. I didn't have the chance to sit in on the interviews with the editorial pages. But from conversations with friends who are more familiar with him, stuff I see out on social media, a very energetic, outgoing person. And I think that carries a lot of weight, especially when you're running in these very localized races. That ability to get some one-on-one porch time with your future or current constituents goes a very long way. And he was obviously able to get in the trenches, get some energy going around his campaign. And I really think that more than anything, probably put him over the edge.
Clint, both you and Pam endorsed Mr. Byrd.
I agree with David that he is a very high-energy person. I think he started early. Well, last summer, and so has gone from there. And I think he tagged Moses Freeman, whether it's true or not, of being sort of out of touch with his constituents, and maybe just not quite. Didn't think he was also very supportive of preserving Lincoln Park, which Byrd says he would do, help preserve Lincoln Park if he could, from having the through street on the Amicola Highway from there. And again, I just think he seemed to voters more an energetic guy and willing to be, you know, part of the city council rather than just somebody sitting back and saying, well, we'll just do what, you know, what the mayor wants.
In Chattanooga city elections, you have to get 50% plus one in order to be elected. So we have 2 council districts, District 7 and District 9, where we'll now have a runoff on April 11th. Now, let's talk a little bit about that on the Scenic City Roundtable today. Turning now to Pam Sohn, the editorial page editor of the Chattanooga Times. District 7 incumbent Councilman Chris Anderson is now in a runoff with Erkston Oglesby. Former City Councilman Manny Rico didn't get enough to make that runoff. It looked like Mr. Anderson got most of the vote, but not enough to win without a runoff. How do you see the runoff and obviously the challenges of getting people to turn out for yet another election on April 11th?
Well, those two runoffs, there are 2 runoffs, but and each of them is interesting. Obviously, I think the turnout will be low, but I think that if they, I think that Chris is probably more energized and organized about getting out in his community. So I suspect he will win that runoff.
In District 9, we have Yusuf Hakim, who had a runoff 4 years ago. He's back now with another runoff challenge, this time an interesting challenge from Demetrius Coonrod, a challenger, first-time runner, first-time candidate in the city council race. Clint, from the Chattanooga Free Press editorial page, talk about that race and what you see.
Okay, sure. She was one of 3 challengers to the current councilman, who Yusuf Hakim. And Councilman Hakim barely won his race last time when he came back after being on the probation and parole board. He regained his seat in 2013, but it was by just a few votes. And so I'm not sure that, especially the three challengers he had this time evidently thought that seat was up for grabs. And so I think Councilman Hakim got 41%, I believe it is, in the race. And so there's a good bit of votes that need to be made up. But if Demetrius Coonrod can take from Pat Benson and John Kearns, then, she just has – she might be able to win that seat. I think she has a lot of energy, and she has an interesting personal story. She is a owner of a small businesses and works herself in another business. And she's the vice chairman of the Hamilton County Democratic Party. And she actually is she had been in prison at one point and has had gotten her rights back and secured
her
rights.
Turned her life around.
Yeah, and turned her life around. She's raised children. And if I recall, had actually seen a fiance or boyfriend murdered in front of her. So she's had quite the time. And but she has a lot of energy. She's bright. She's energetic. And so, you know, I think Councilman Hakeem has a difficult will have a difficult time in front of him.
Yeah, and in that one, if I can just interject real quick, there's a lot more in that votes to be gobbled up in District 9 than there are in District 7. I was just looking at the how many votes are left on the table. Manny Rico peeled away 260 votes in that District 7 race, whereas if we're looking at Kearns and Benson Jr., that's 753 votes that are now up for grabs. Now, we can't assume all those people that voted yesterday on Tuesday are going to go back and vote during the runoff election. However, there is quite a sizable chunk of votership out there that is up for grabs right now in that District 9 race.
Early voting then starting in just a few weeks, April 11th will be the actual runoff election date. Pam, how do you motivate people with a single race on the ballot to turn out on a single city council race? And will there be many voters in both District 7 and District 9 on the runoff?
Those candidates will have to work very, very hard. But one thing that I think is interesting, you were talking about the makeup of the council. Should Demetrius win and Chris, regain reelection, that council will be skewed considerably younger and considerably more energetic. It will be interesting to see how this turns out, and maybe that fact alone might energize some voters to go to the polls.
In addition to race and gender, there's certainly some big age differences in the candidates that could change the makeup.
The three candidates, 41 or younger. Three council members, 41 or younger.
So as a result of all this, David, as we go forth, do you see the city and under Mayor Burke in a second term, he talked some about his initiatives, trying to do more with crime fighting, trying to do more in terms of economic development. Are we going to move ahead as a city, you think, in a different direction with this council, or is it more of the same?
I think it's going to be more of the same. One thing that I'm going to be interested to watch on this one is out in District 4 with Darren Ledford taking Larry Groen's position out there. Of course, Larry Groen, to run for mayor, had to vacate his city council seat. And over the past 4 years, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say that Larry Groen was a bit of a thorn in the Burke administration's side, used his position on the council to challenge some of the policy initiatives pushed forward by the Burke administration. I don't know how much of that was ideological and how much of that was plotting for a run at the mayor's office. And I guess we don't have to wonder about that anymore. The thing that I will be watching is how Darren Ledford plays ball with the mayoral administration. That will be just an interesting thing to watch. Will he go along with a lot of the initiatives and hope that there's a trade-off, that there will be some bacon that he can bring home to East Brainerd and his district over in that area? Or will he be Groen-esque in his approach to City Hall?
Thank you all for our discussion today at Scenic City Roundtable. Editors and writers from the Chattanooga Times Free Press, the editorial page editor from the Free Press, Clint Cooper, editorial page editor from the Chattanooga Times, Pam Sohn, as well as opinion writer David Martin, discussing the city council and mayoral elections. And don't forget, if you're in District 7 and 9, April 11th, there'll be a runoff race, and remember to vote. Make your voice heard. This is Dave Flusner. Thanks for listening.